If your kids, if you have them, or maybe grandkids or even neighbor kids, but for any kids that you know or anything like my kids, they have a million requests always, and they always seem to be reminding you of what you said they could do. Anyone with me on this, right? They said, but Dad, you said that we could watch a show right now. But Dad, you said that we could stay up late. But Dad, you said that we could get ice cream. Anyone else with me on this, right? Okay, and so what happens then is I have to break their adorable little hearts and remind them, no, I actually never said that. What I did say was if, you know, X, Y, Z happens then, maybe this could happen. Or I have to tell them, no, I said maybe we could do that later. Or I said, you know, possibly next week. Or I said we could talk about it. Or most of all, we could talk to Mom about it, right? But they said, but Dad, you said. That's never what they hear. They just hear what they want to hear. You said we could. And so over and over again, Erica and I, we find ourselves repeating constantly, no, I never said that. And I think that these same little scenarios, they happen with us in the real life grown-up world. And more specifically, I think these kind of scenarios happen when it comes to real matters of life and when it comes to matters of faith. And for some of us, when it comes to following Jesus, taking maybe just a small step toward following Jesus, I think these kind of scenarios happen in some ways. We oftentimes just hear what we want to hear. We get a whole lot of other ideas in our mind, and we slowly start to believe that Jesus must have said that, or he must have said something similar to it. He must have said that, when in fact, he didn't. And that's why we're in this series titled, Jesus Never Said That. It's a three-week series that we're actually finishing today, a series called Jesus Never Said That, because I believe that the words that Jesus did speak are the most powerful, the most inspirational, the most transformational words ever spoken, words that we would be so wise to pay attention to more in our lives. And I think sometimes to understand the real power in the words that Jesus did say, we have to stop and admit and take a look at what he didn't say. Because if we're not careful, and this is especially important for those of us who do call ourselves followers of Jesus, right? If we're not careful, we'll start living our lives according to what we think is true, or what we think we heard from other people, or what ideas seem kind of most popular, and we'll start to believe that Jesus said some things. Well, sure, he must have said some things that he actually didn't. And I, for one, this is just me, I don't want to live my life according to what I think he said, or what I think he meant, or what I think he's cool with. I want to live my life according to what I know that he said is true. And so that's what this series is all about. If you missed any of the first 2 weeks, you can check them out on our website or even the iTunes podcast app. We'd love to have you catch up and fill yourselves in on a couple other weeks worth of things that Jesus never said. And so this morning then, I want to address something that I hear so often. I hear this all the time. I hear this so often from people when it comes to church or when it comes to God or when it comes to following Jesus. Time and time again, I hear people will tell me, hey, I really enjoyed coming to the church. It's really helped me to become a better person. Or people will tell me, yeah, we've been meaning to get back into church. Both of us admit that we really need to be focused on becoming a better person. Or sometimes I'll ask people about, hey, what would you want to hear me talk about in church? And oftentimes I'll have people tell me, hey, something maybe about how to become a better person. And that's all fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Have you ever said that? There's nothing to be embarrassed about that. That's just the thing that I hear, that there seems to be this connection between God and church and being a good person. Or on the flip side of that, I'll hear people tell me at different places in my life, I'll hear people say, hey, Sten, I don't need to go to church to be a good person. I don't need God in my life at all to be a good person, right? The same connection between God and being a good person. Sten, I don't need God. I don't need church to be a good person. And if I can, just for a moment here, do you know what I'd say to that? Do you know how I'd answer that? People saying, Stan, I don't need God to be a good person. My answer to that would be, no, you don't. You're exactly right. I 100% agree with you. You don't have to go to church or even follow Jesus to be a good person. Christians, right, people who follow Jesus, we don't have a monopoly on being a good person, right? Christians aren't the only ones in the world whose hearts beat for other people, right? They're not the only people in the world that care for their neighbor or want what's best for their community or want what's best for the world around them. There's many atheists, there's many agnostics, there's many Muslims or Jews or Packer fans even who are good people. Can I go on? They're good people. Some of the best of people. I mean, honestly, they love people. They love their family. They care for their neighbors. They're generous. Some of the most generous people that you could ever know. That they're kind and they're caring. So many different kinds of people. Christians aren't the only ones who are good people. So many various people in this world are good people that love and care for their neighbor and the world around them. And that's, I really believe that there's a reason for that. I believe that there's a reason for that because all people were designed in God's image. And here's what that means. If I just keep going with this for a second, here's what that means. That Christian or not, follower of Jesus or not, if someone is a good person, has a good heart, if someone has a heart that beats for other people so much that you go, they're just a good person. If someone has a heart that beats for other people, no matter what kind of person that person is, it's because they were designed in the image of a God whose heart beats for other people. Okay, listen to Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. This is what I believe tells the story of creation, how things came to be and how things came to be even for you and me. It says this, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." It's kind of a reference to what they called the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Spirit. So he said, hey, let's make human beings to be like us. And they all ran over the fish and the birds and the livestock and all the wild animals and all the small animals that scurry along the ground. Verse 27, so God did it. So God created human beings. Pay attention to that. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Right? It goes on later to say when he brought Adam to life that he breathed his breath. He breathed life into mankind. So God made humans, it says. Not so God made Christians. It says, so God made humans, man and woman, in his image, in his very likeness, to be like him, to have hearts that beat like him, to love and to care and to be generous toward other people like him. So whether you are a follower of Jesus or not, believe in God or not, or go to church regularly or not, you very well may be a great person, maybe the best of persons, who cares for your neighbor and cares for other people in your life more than anybody else you know. Everybody says, man, you are one of the finest. And I'm telling you here today that I believe that's the case because you were made in the image of a God who cared for people. Your heart beats for people because God's heart beats for people. And you were made to be like him. So what I'm saying here today is no, you don't have to be a Christian only to be a good person. You don't have to go to church if that to be the only way that you become a good person. Jesus didn't give up his life, in fact, so that you could just be a good person. That wasn't the goal. Jesus didn't come and give up his life so you could be a good person. The truth is, Jesus never said to us, never said to anyone, blessed are those who follow me, for then they will learn how to be a good person. Jesus wasn't himself just a good guy. He wasn't just some kind of moral Jedi master who taught us some really neat lessons about how to best care for our neighbor, how to best care for or look after those around us. I think all of that happens and it should happen. It should happen in some really incredible ways. as a result of following Jesus, but it is not why Jesus came to earth, so that we could learn how to be a good person. Jesus did come to earth. If I could summarize it, Jesus did come to earth because God lost something. I think that something is me and you, a relationship with me and you. Jesus came to earth because God lost something and he wanted it back again. Right? Jesus came to earth because our once perfect, spotless relationship with God was broken and God desperately wanted it to be whole again. Right? Man and woman were once at home, in the garden with God. But they messed it up and things were never the same. And because of mankind's first ever moment of disobedience, there was a gap for all generations, a gap between us and God. And Jesus came to fill that gap. Jesus came to eliminate the gap and to make it possible to be in that good and perfect relationship with God once again, just as it was meant to be from the very beginning. Jesus then, he had a very specific goal in coming to earth, in reconnecting and reuniting us to the Father, to his Father. And it's in this regard why he did come. It's in this regard that he did say something that I want us to hear this morning. Because Jesus may never have said, come follow me, be my disciple, for only I can teach you how to be a good person. He didn't say that, but Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the only one who can do something else for us that we cannot do on our own. And that something else is what I want us to talk about and what I want us to hear this morning. And so the specific words that Jesus spoke were captured and recorded in what John wrote in John chapter 14. Very quickly, though, in the previous chapter, if we just go back one to John chapter 13, Jesus has just finished telling his 12 disciples. If we kind of get a running start here, this is what's going on. Jesus has just finished telling his 12 disciples that he's going away for a while. He predicts his betrayal, that his, you know, one of his own will betray him, and he knows that he's going to be crucified, and so he's starting to fill his guys in on the details, and they don't really get it. They don't really get it. They're like, you're going away for a while? They're like, okay, well, just tell us where you're going, and we'll come with you. And Jesus is going, it's not totally, like that. It's not really that simple. So the disciples are kind of confused and they're kind of concerned at what Jesus is telling them. And then we get to chapter 14, John chapter 14. And here it is. This is what Jesus says to them in this moment. They're going, where are you going? We want to be where you are. And so here's what Jesus says to them, starting in verse 1. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. He says, you believe in God. So believe also in me. He's telling them, hey, look to me, right? Follow me. Keep your eyes on me and follow my lead. So you believe in God, so also believe in me. And then he continues. He says, my Father's house has many rooms. And if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go, he says, and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you with me. Take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. That's what they want, to be where he is. Remember, here's what's happening. God, Jesus is kind of talking to them about going where he's going. A house is prepared for them because he's got to remember here, God lost something. That's what's going on. God lost something, a relationship with you and me, and he wants it back. Our relationship with God was once broken and he wants it to be whole again. We were separated from God and he wants to be reunited with us. And Jesus is working it all out. Jesus is working on making that happen. In God's house, he's saying, this is what I'm doing. God's house has a place for you, he's telling them. And I'm getting it ready for you. So if you stick with me, if you follow me, if you follow my lead, I'm going to bring you back home again. Because humankind, we were once at home in the garden, and then we kind of messed things up. And so Jesus says, you stick with me, I'm going to bring you back home again. That's what he's getting at here. Then we get to verse 4, and he says this. He tells them, You know the way to the place where I am going. And in verse 5, Thomas, he kind of speaks up for all the boys. He speaks up and said to Jesus, Lord, we have no idea where you are going. We got no idea. So how can we know the way? How do we know how to, you know, get to this house, this home that you speak of? How do we know the way back to the Father's house? How in the world do we get where you are going? Verse 6, Jesus answered them, and this is what Jesus did say that I want us to hear this morning. In fact, I think that there's maybe someone here this morning that needs to hear this today. Verse 6, Jesus answered them when they want to know the way, and he says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father. Nobody gets to where I'm going. Nobody gets back to the Father again except through me. He says, if you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. You know me. He says, if you know me, if you follow me, then you'll know. And then you'll see, and then you'll experience, and then you'll be reunited with the Father again. Then what God lost, what was separated from God, will be back home again. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You know me, you know my Father. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. And if you know me, you know him. Here's what that says to me, and we've kind of pieced this all together. If we really look at what's happening and maybe sometimes what we think is the way back to the Father again, the way to make things right again, if we put all this together, here's what that says to me, and here's what I want to suggest to you this morning. That being a good person is a good thing, but it doesn't compare to knowing the one person who leads you back home again. Let me say that again, just so I don't confuse anybody or nobody misunderstands me. Being a good person is absolutely 100% a good thing. I want people at Midcurrent to be known and to be recognized as some of the best people around. Man, that's why, you know, the fall kickoff, we're going to get all this swag and t-shirts and sweatshirts, and I'm making sweet little trucker hats, and we got stickers and all. There's a reason, because when you're out around town, I want people to know and to recognize you, and when they do, I want people at Midcurrent to be known as some of the best people around. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. I want us to be the best people, the best neighbors, the best bosses, the best employees, the best students, the best tippers, the best teachers, the best business leaders, the best community leaders. And I think Jesus would want the same thing. I'm not suggesting that Jesus doesn't want us to have hearts that beat like that, that Jesus doesn't want us to be known as some of the best people around. And in fact, in that chapter 13 that I just summarized kind of quickly for you, he gave his disciples a new command. He said, hey, I'm going to be out of here soon, boys. And so he said, I've got a new command for you. Love people just as I have loved people. Love people just as I have loved you. Jesus says, that's how people will know that you are with me. So that's being a good person, it is a really, really, really good thing. But I don't think it compares to knowing the one person who filled the gap, who fixed what's broken, and who leads the way back home again. Knowing him makes all the difference in the world. So yes, if I had to kind of summarize what I was kind of alluding to before, yes, you can absolutely be a good person without God in your life, but I don't think you find your way back home again. I don't think you find your way back to him again without Jesus in your life. Yes, you absolutely can be a good person, great person, the best of persons around without God in your life, because you were made in the image of a God who had a heart like that. But I don't think you find your way back to him again without Jesus in your life. If you follow Jesus, he is, he says. I am, he says, the way, the truth, and the life that leads you back home again, to a house that's got many rooms, one of which is prepared for you, one of which has got your name on the outside. If I had to guess in a room like this, if I had to guess, my guess is there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us like Thomas thinking, hey, I want to go there. I want to get where you're going. I want to, you know, be reunited, you know, back to the Father again. I want to go where you're going, but we have no idea how to get there. We know something was off. We know something was broken and something has to be, kind of be made right again. And we're going, how do we do it? How do we make it happen? And the truth is, we don't make it happen. We don't fix what was broken. We don't get to where we want to go just by being a good person. We don't get to where we want to go. We don't fix what was broken. We don't fill the gap that existed by, you know, helping more old ladies across the street. We don't get there by a perfect church attendance record. We don't get there because we finally quit swearing. I did it. No more cuss words coming out of my mouth. We don't get there or fill the gap or fix what's broken because of how much money we donated to charity or but how many times we, you know, volunteered at a local organization or how many times we raised our hand to volunteer to coach our kids' little league team. That's all great stuff, but none of that is the stuff that leads the way back to the Father again. We're led back to the Father. We get to where we want to go by knowing and following the one person who knows the way. Knowing the one person who says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. Jesus says, you know me. If you know me, then you'll know my Father. You follow me and you'll find your way back to him again. So let me ask you, do you know him? Or maybe for the majority of you here this morning, maybe the question is, what are you doing to get to know him more and more and more? Just this past week, I asked a close friend of mine here in Hudson. I just wanted to get out of my own head a little bit. I wanted to, you know, step back and get some other voices, get some other input on this whole deal. And so just this week, I asked a close friend of me and my wife, Erica, here in Hudson. I asked her what she does or how even she would encourage someone who asked her to get to know Jesus more. I said, what do you do? What would you say? What do you do personally to get to know Jesus more? And here was her answer in a text back to me. It kind of took me a second to figure out, like, well, did you actually just answer my question? But the more I read what she said to me, I thought, that's incredible. Here's what she said when I asked her, what do you do to get to know Jesus more? And she said to me in a text, she said, you need to tell me things straightforward. If you knew this girl I was talking about, you'd say, yep, you got to tell her straightforward. She said, my biological dad legit said to me one day, I don't think you're going to heaven. Whew. How's that for a dad talk, right? You thought like the birds and the bees was intimidating, right? Try that one on for size. Dad said, I don't think you're going to heaven. Here's what she said next. So I worked hard to prove him wrong. I would have loved to see what that looked like. Oh yeah? Well, I'm going to show you just what kind of great person I really am. She said, I worked hard to prove him wrong, and in return, working hard to prove him wrong, she says, and in return, I found Jesus and was hungry to know more, and so I dove into my Bible to study books and to so much more. The more I read that, the more I went, like, did she actually answer my question? I was like, oh, yeah, she answered my question. The more I loved the story that she was telling. I worked hard to prove him wrong. I worked hard to prove that I was the greatest person in the world, and I found Jesus in the process and was hungry to know more. She shared with me what she has done to know Jesus more, and so the question is, what might it be for you? I think there's another step to take no matter where you're at on this journey. Everyone is at a different stage at this church. That's the truth. Everyone's at a different stage, and truthfully, that's what I love about this church. We're all in a different spot. So the question is, you just got to ask yourself, what is it for you? You got to ask yourself, what is it for me? right? Maybe for you, it is literally just the commitment to start attending a church regularly, any church. It doesn't have to be this church. It should be some church somewhere. And I got to be clear what that's about. Attending church, I already said this, attending church doesn't make you a good person, but it sure would be a great first step to learning about and to knowing Jesus more. Maybe for you, getting to know Jesus more, just a little bit. Maybe that would just be spending time with people who know Jesus more. Right? Maybe it's finally reaching out to the one person that you've met here a few times, and you always felt like, man, I think I could benefit from hanging out with him, or benefit from hanging out with her, or benefit from spending some time with them. Call them up, grab lunch, invite them or their family over for dinner. Maybe it's a godly aunt or uncle, or maybe it's a really faithful father-in-law or mother-in-law. Spend time with them. Ask them questions about their life. Ask them questions about following Jesus, and do anything you can to get to know the Jesus that they know. Maybe for you, it's finding a regular time in a regular place to just read the Bible, or to, you know, start a Bible reading plan on a Bible app. Maybe it's, you know, asking someone to help you read it, someone to help you see Jesus on every page. I love, we gave away some Bibles to all the kids that we dedicated here back in March. I love the Bibles they make. We gave one out to every kid here who was dedicated, 19 of them. They're called the Jesus Storybook Bible, and the subtitle says, "Every Story Whispers His Name." I like that. I feel like we need that for adults, right? But I think that with the right amount of time and the right dedication and the right people around you, you start to get to know that very same Jesus more. Maybe it's just reading a book with a friend or a small group of friends, some kind of book that's designed to help you get to know Jesus more and his heart for you. Maybe it's just putting yourself in a position to help others around you get to know Jesus more. Right? Maybe it's putting in yourself in a position to serve other people so that they would know Jesus more. I meet people all the time who seem more interested in settings and in environments that help them get to know Jesus more. Well, I need this kind of setting, and I need this kind of song, and I need this kind of thing and that kind of thing so that I can get to know Jesus more. But sometimes what happens is we step outside of ourselves and we put ourselves in a position to help somebody else get to know Jesus more. And guess what happens? Jesus all of a sudden becomes so much more real to us in the process. Take a step and try something new. Something new to get to know Jesus more. Okay, these are all some of the steps to get to know Jesus more, but I want to end by saying this. For some of you here this morning, and maybe it's just one, and I'm glad for that. Maybe it's two, or maybe it's three. I don't know. I think for someone here this morning, the question is not like, do you want to know him more, or what will you do to get to know him more? The question is, in light of this idea that if we know Jesus, we know the Father, the question is, do you know him, period? I think for someone here, that's the question that's on the table right now. Do you know him? Do you know this person, Jesus? Not know about him, not heard about him. Do you know him? Do you know that he gave up his life for you so that you could have life? Do you know that he came to this earth not to just teach you how to be a nice guy, but to give you life and life to the full, and to show you the way back to where you were meant to be? Have you ever said yes to that Jesus? You ever said yes to following him? Yes to making him a part of your life? Yes to handing him the reins to the life that you live in? You may be a good person. You may be a great person. You may be the salt of the earth. In fact, at this point in the life of this church, I know most of you, right? And you're all pretty good people. So yeah, you can be a good person. You may be a good person, but the question is, do you really know the one person who can lead the way back home again? If you don't, But today, for some reason, whatever is happening in you, from whatever you feel like is happening in your heart, in your life, if you don't know him, but you want to, if you've never said yes to following Jesus, but you want to start today to following the one who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life, then here's what I want you to do as I bring this to a close. I want you to just say a prayer with me as I finish up. If this is where you're at, just repeat this simple prayer after me. We'll all close our eyes and bow our heads. And if this is you this morning, just repeat this after me. Jesus, thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you for paying the price and closing the gap and fixing what was broken and for leading the way and showing the way back home again. Today I confess that I've spent more time trying to be a good person rather than getting to know the person who gave his life for me. And today I'm declaring, drawing a line in the sand, saying that I want to know you more. Today I'm declaring that I say yes to you and yes to following you, yes to following your will, yes to following your way, and yes to following your leading in my life. And I'm asking now that you would bring the right people and the right places and the right opportunities into my life so that I can get to know you more and your plan for my life each and every day. For every one of us here then too, God, I just ask that you would honor, God, you would honor each and every single step, large or small, that you would honor every single step that we take. As we take a step to get to know you more, God, would you please reveal more of yourself to us? Some of us here this morning, God, are desperate to see you, desperate to know you more, desperate to know that you're there, desperate to know that you see us, and that you're there with us, and that you care for us. So as we take a step to you, God, would you help us to see the step that you take toward us? And I pray all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. We're so glad that you could be here this morning.